wheel, the car would immediately go like going right off the road. And if I was turning right, you just let go of the wheel because the car will do it itself. So the car was so far out of alignment, and I finally went over to Benedetti and I got the automotive or the wheel alignment for my car, and it was great. And of course the test, you know, the test is always, okay, you're driving along a straight road down Highway 12 towards Santa Rosa, let go of the wheel and see what happens. And I'm waiting for the veer because I was so used to it. I hear it comes, and it just kept going straight. I was like, yes. Yeah, the wheel alignment. Because you can, I mean, those of us who are economical and don't like to spend money we don't need to, can you just feel the wear and tear in your tires when the wheel's out of alignment? Going, it's going to be about 2 weeks and I'm going to need new tires. This is so bad out of alignment. Why am I bringing up a wheel alignment in the middle of a message about prayer? Why do you think? A car alignment brings the car's suspension into its proper configuration. The alignment positions and adjusts components so that the wheels are aligned with each other and the road surface. The alignment should be performed by an experienced mechanic. You can tell I just downloaded this from the internet. Should be performed by an experienced mechanic who uses an alignment machine. How does that machine work? Well, get this. This is how the machine works. An alignment essentially requires squaring a car's wheels and axles with each other so that they are all now moving in the same direction. So what happens when we pray, and how does that relate to a wheel alignment? When we pray, as we're praying, as we're communing with God and communicating with Him and Him with us, through His Spirit and through His Word and through our prayers to Him, we are getting ourselves aligned with the wheel of God. We're starting to realize places in our lives that are veering off to the right or to the left. And God, in prayer and through His Word, is acting like guardrails in our lives to keep us going on the straight and narrow and to straighten us out. The wheels and the axles are now, after a good time of prayer, and we say, not my will, but your will be done, and we align ourselves with God's will. Now we've got our spiritual wheels going all in the same direction. When we pray to God, we open ourselves up. We say, God, I'm giving you permission to square up my wheels. So I want to move in your direction. And when we do that, we are so blessed. We become an even greater, we are blessed, and then we are able to become an even greater blessing to other people. So the prayer, why do we pray? To be able to align ourselves with the will of God. So our will gets in tune with God's will. This is a quick story from Remy Roy. She's a blogger, and she talks about this question about why should we pray even though God knows everything. She relates this story. She says, as a child, I wondered about God's sovereignty. It was a simple question. If God knew what I wanted, why didn't He just give it to me? Why did God want me to wait for me to ask Him for what I wanted? And as I grew in my faith, I encountered the story in John's Gospel. And this is in John chapter 5. You can check it out for yourself. This is the story of the sick man to whom Jesus asked this question. Remember in John's Gospel, this sick man, he'd been laying there on a mat for years and years. Jesus walked right up to him and he asked this man a question. He says, do you want to be made well? That's odd, I thought. The man is sick, Jesus. Obviously he wants to be well. But studying the story further made me realize that something deeper was going on. In answering Jesus' obvious question, this man said, I have no one to help put me in the water. There's nobody here to help put me in the water. I thought to myself, this guy's just being weird now. Just say yes. Jesus is asking you, do you want to be made well? Just say yes. Do you see what I see here? She says, I believe God isn't just about healing our sick bodies or giving us things. Those are small potatoes. And here's the key. What God wants to do is to deal with the state of my heart. Are we dependent on Him? Or do we have all those other agendas or channels of provision or support that we depend on instead? Our God does not exist to fulfill our every whim. As a matter of fact, if God gave us everything we ever wanted, we would self-sabotage. God treasures a relationship with us above all else. God wants us to come to Him with our thoughts, our questions, our feelings. He wants us to show our hearts and reveal to Him where our allegiances lie. And when we do that, we open ourselves up so that God can refine us and make Him more like Him. That isn't going to happen if we simply give up, this isn't going to happen if He simply gives us everything that pops into our mind. You know, that sick man spent decades depending on other people. He looked to others to help him. He needed a middleman. And Jesus came to show that man that life Himself was on the scene, and all he had to do was connect to Jesus, the source of life. I believe that that encounter didn't just leave the man with a healthy body. I also believe that it left him with a transformed soul. And there's another benefit of prayer, that we are changed by being in God's presence. You should pray, even though God knows everything, for three reasons. And this is in your bulletin. So those who've been ready to write, here it comes. Number one, God wants a closer relationship with you. God has always wanted that. When He created mankind in the garden, He came to the garden in the cool of the day to walk with man, to talk with man. Before sin came into the world, before death, before separation from God, God was always wanting to commune and relate to and talk with man. So prayer allows us to do that. God wants a closer relationship, and He wants to hear from you. God knows how we're wired. He knows what we need. He recognizes our tendency to medicate ourselves with something else. And He says, don't do that. Come to me. Run toward me. If He gave us everything we ever needed, even before we asked, all He would be doing was feeding our fleshly desires. Our spirits would go empty, and God loves us too much to just feed our fleshly desires. He wants to fill our souls. God wants you to pray with Him because He wants a closer relationship with you. Number two, here's another reason why God wants you to pray. Because God wants you, and this is kind of an interesting twist. Think about this one. God wants you to listen to yourself. God wants you to hear yourself and what you are saying to God when you're praying, right? That man in the pool said the very thing that had been on his heart all those years of lying sick. He wanted help from others. He had not yet connected with God, the healer. Jesus came on the scene. He asked him a simple question, and He revealed the state of that man's heart. God wants you to listen to yourself. I don't know if you've ever gone to counseling. My favorite sort of general story of counseling is the person that goes to counseling, and the counselor is so good. They said, okay, well, tell me why you're here. And the guy says, well, I'm basically going through some problems, this and this. And the counselor says, hmm. And about the whole hour, the counselor basically says, hmm, really interesting. Tell me more. And by the end of the hour, the guy says, oh, doc, I know exactly what to do. Thank you so much. You've been a great help. I know why you're so good at what you do. Thanks a lot, doc. I'll see you later. Now, what just happened in that counseling session, and how did the guy find direction for his life, right? He talked it out. Do you realize there's a lot of people who live a lot of their lives up here in their head, and that a lot of the problems and the spaghetti that's up in there that's all convoluted, it could possibly straighten itself out. You could receive better understanding if you just talked about it, if you talked it over with God and say, God, what do you think I should do about this? How can you help me in this area? And as we're praying and talking with God, we are starting to gain understanding and figure some things out. And God's like, very good. Bless you. Go your way in peace, right? So God wants you to listen to yourself when we pray. And then finally, we've said this before, but God wants to deal with the state of your heart. God wants you to deal with the state of your heart. Here's a question. Have you thought about your own prayers lately? What are the kinds of things that you ask God for, you talk to God about? What are the things you bring to God's attention the most? You know, speaking for myself, on some days it seems that all I've been doing is asking God for stuff. And maybe it just dawned on you that if you haven't taken the time to thank Him for the things that you already have, or that you've prayed to God on behalf of others, that God would help them, that God would bless other people in need, or that God would empower you. God, you've called me to do this work in the world, and I can't do it on my own. I don't have the power. I don't have the wisdom to pull this off. Would you please help me do this? And that God is more than willing to empower you to do what he's calling you to do in this world. That could be a change in your prayer heart. Or even, here's another thing. God, would you please soften up my own stubborn heart? God, please soften my heart. I believe that when we pray, our prayers to God bring us clarity. Saying the words gives us insight into the state of our hearts. Our prayers help our will to become aligned with God's will. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, he already knows what we're going to say, but he's also relational. And God made us a way. God made a way for us to be closer to him. Look what it says in the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews, whoever he is, we got a lot of different ideas who wrote this book. But the author says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. That's a great fancy way of saying pray. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? God's inviting us to draw near. And when we draw near to him, we're not coming up to a throne of judgment. We're not coming up to a judgment seat of condemnation for all the bad things that we've done. It says we're going to find a throne of grace, and we're going to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. You know, sometimes the most honest prayer that you can have to God is, God, help. You know, you ever wonder when Peter, when they were out there on the boat and Jesus came at night and walking on the water, and Peter said, hey, Rabbi, if it's you, because you're a rabbi and I'm supposed to do whatever my rabbi does, if you're walking on the water, call to me and tell me to come out on the water. Jesus says, come on out. Peter starts walking on the water, and then he's doing okay for a while. Then he looks at the wind and the waves. He looks away from Jesus. He starts to sink. What do you think Peter's prayer was in that moment? Right? God, omnipotent being of the universe, as I contemplate your awesomeness, he would be at the bottom of the lake by the time he got done with his introduction, right? You don't need a long prayer with God. You're not going to impress him with all your fancy words. Sometimes the most honest prayer to God is help, or God, help me. So God says, keep on asking. Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The door will be open to you. You will find. You will receive. Our Heavenly Father knows how to give us good gifts. Back to King David, not in Psalm 139, but in another song that he wrote to God in Psalm number 11. He says, you grant me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. You see, when David went into God's presence, do you see how David is experiencing God? In prayer and in communion with God, do you see how David describes it? Is it an awful experience? Is it feel like he's going to get a whipping? Does he feel like he's going to get rebuked and condemned and turned away? No, he says, when I come to you, God, you grant me the joy of your presence, the pleasures of living with you forevermore. When Jesus talks about having eternal life, He links it to a personal relationship with God. This is one of my favorite verses in John's gospel. Jesus says this. He says, eternal life is this, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Somebody asks you the question, you know, you Christians talk about eternal life, life forever with God in heaven. What is eternal life? Jesus says eternal life is knowing the only true God. That's relationship. That's why we pray with God. We pray to God not because we're telling him something that he doesn't already know. We're praying to God because we're developing our relationship with God. And we're getting ourselves aligned, our wills aligned to the will of God. He's doing a great spiritual wheel alignment in our lives, and we allow God to do that. God has always had a deep desire to have a close, right relationship with you. He sent Jesus to reconcile you and me to God. And God wants to walk with you every day and listen to your prayers and guide your steps and bless your life toward greater love and grace And when that happens, the world is going to be changed. And the world is going to be changed one human heart at a time, beginning with you and me. Do you know right now whether you have a right relationship with God? God has paved the way for you to have that relationship through His Son Jesus. You can have forgiveness and right standing with God. You can have grace and peace every day of your life. You can have eternal life, and it's all found by making a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to begin that journey today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And God, today, as I'm trying to relate to you, I'm thinking about prayer. I'm thinking about your invitation to come to you to find help in our time of need, to find a throne of grace that's full of mercy. And Lord, sometimes I just confess that I go right past that relationship with you. I'm not even thinking about befriending you in a deeper way. Lord, sometimes I'm thinking about the stuff that I want or the things that I need, and I just want you to provide those things for me. And so, Father, forgive me for all those times when I've just forgotten that one of the reasons you want us to pray is to have a relationship with you and have your spirit commune with my spirit so that I can align my will with your will and you can deal with the real state that whatever my heart is in. And you and in your presence, Lord, I just find joy, and you transform us by the renewing of our mind. God, we want that. And so, Lord, help us to develop our prayer life. God, thank you for all the times where you answered our prayers, even the times when we didn't even pray right. God, you're so gracious to us. You're so good. You're so merciful. And Lord, today I just want to say yes to following you. Lord, I don't want to walk apart from you one more day in my life. I want to be in right relationship with you. And you say it's through your Son, Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. I take you as my Lord, as the one that I follow. I take you as my Savior, the one who forgives me of my sins. And I just pray, God, that you'll help me to find the next steps to keep on following you, to keep that life that you've called me to live. Lord, thank you that you hear us when we pray to you. Thank you for Jesus who made it all possible. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you all. We're going to have the choir come up and close out our service. Great song. Like the prophet Elijah, our Lord is coming again, and we have a great message to proclaim because we're in the age of grace, and the year of Jubilee can be for anybody who embraces Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So go out and share that message. Have a great weekend. Behold. Hey, Mary. Bless you, dear. Hey. Bless you. Hey, you did a great job. That was awesome. Very well done. Did you come to hear her?
Yes.
Yeah, she did awesome. Hey, how's it going? What's your name?
George.
It's Jim. I'm Jim.